Welcome to Hacks and Jacks, a fantasy baseball podcast. I'm Joe Galena, and as always, I'm joined by my man, Scott Chu. Baseball is back, Scott!
You know, I gotta tell you, as a baseball fan, this flurry of action is beautiful. I love it. It's great. It's exciting. My phone is blowing up. As a content creator, it is my absolute nightmare. Everything I've been working on, out the window, right? I'm rewriting, like, player analyses. I'm re-ranking guys. It's like just utter chaos as all these things move around. And
but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a lot today. But like, what's weird is I have to change a lot of the write-ups, but like a bunch of the ranks like don't necessarily move. Some of them don't move as much as you'd expect. But there's like, even before I can do that, I have to like think about it so much and look and look. And it's like, wow, this is nuts. But again, it's so fun. Right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like the poor folks at Roster Resource must just be dying right now.
But they're doing a good job, you know, because I'm watching, like you, like I have my cell phone out at my desk at work, and I'm just waiting for the next move to happen, next transaction, next signing. And literally, like 10 minutes after the transactions announced, Roster Resource has updated their lineups, which I find, you tip my cap to them.
Yeah, otherwise this podcast would be real hard to do.
Yes. But in case you were sleeping underneath a rock, yes, we have a new collective bargaining agreement. And Scott, it's been a while since we've actually had some real news to report on this podcast. We've kind of, you know, scoured wherever we could and found like little bits and pieces of news, but tons of activities.
So many activities. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
Lots of activity between the trades, free agent signings. Just to give everyone a reference, we're recording this podcast on March 14th, just a little after 10 p.m. Eastern time. So who knows? Once we're done recording, there might be another transaction, another signing, another trade. But yeah. Just before we started, it was just announced that Andrew McCutchen joined the Brewers. But huge, huge news today. Do we want to start with this, Scott? Who do we want to start with? I'll let you take the lead on this.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about Andrew McCutchen yet. I think that's a really great signing for the Brewers. I think that they were, as I was watching their roster, I thought they were relying on some strange parts of the outfield, right, to really like bolster it up. And I think McCutchen's going to slot right in as a DH. Because, you know, he is getting older. He's, you know, he's over 35 years old. I think Roster Resource is right. They're going to slot him right into that four spot for them. So he's going to kind of be right at the end of what I think is a pretty decent top half of a lineup with Colton Wong, Willie Adames, Christian Yelich, and Andrew McCutchen, where McCutchen now can be an accumulator, right? Mm-hmm. He can play DH just about every day. He'll probably rotate a little bit, but it's not like the bench for the Brewers is super deep, or they don't have a lot of guys right now who look like obvious DHs. So it's a great move for him. He all of a sudden becomes interesting as sort of a back end outfielder, particularly in those four and five outfield leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got off to a great start. Great analysis right off the bat there, Scott. And there's some big names we're going to talk about today. But Ronald Acuna's hitting spring training home runs, says he's ready for opening day. But the Braves say, hey, hold your horses, wait, you know, give it a month, you'll be playing in May. I have a feeling he'll be playing in the middle of April. But Mike Trout, Joe Maddon asked him if he would – really didn't ask him, tell you the truth. He just kind of like told the media, right, that he wants Trout to play a corner outfield spot so he could get Brandon Marsh in playing some center field. And Trout said, no. And I tell you, I really can't wait to see Trout in an everyday lineup. But those are two big names. But what's the biggest story today? We were talking about right before the show. It's your buddy, Fernando Tatis Jr., fracturing his wrist, potentially missing up to 3 months, the first 3 months of the season, because he might have surgery. He's not sure if doctors are recommending that he has surgery, Scott, but it's been recommended for him, but he's just not sure if he's going to follow those recommendations.
Yeah, and why should he, right? Everyone told him he had to get surgery last year, and all he did was be the best baseball player on the planet for 130 games, right? Like, I totally get it. Like, it is comical, the press conferences they've had, like, oh, did you hurt your wrist in a motorcycle accident? Which one? Like, oh, okay, buddy. But you know what? Like, honestly, you know, I was just writing my ranks. Like, I had just opened up my ranks when I got the news, so I had to move to Tease. I'll tell you that my shortstop rankings are coming out probably around the time this podcast drops on Wednesday morning. Tatis is in my top 10 at shortstop still. I've ranked him 8th currently, and that's because I'm a coward. I could have moved him up because at no point last season was Tatis ever bad, ever, right? Looked at the rolling chart. I just tweeted this last night. His worst 100 plate appearance sample in 2021 had an expected WOVA of about 360. For reference, Bo Bichette's expected WOVA for the 2021 season, my number two shortstop on the board, was 354, 6 points lower than the worst expected WOBA Tatis had at any 100 plate appearance sample. So here's the thing. With Tatis in deeper leagues, I do think there's strategy in the avoiding, right? Because the replacement level's so low, you don't know how long it'll be gone. Man, these shallow leagues, these Yahoo leagues, 10-team ESPN leagues, you've got an IL spot, right? Is there any better person to have on the IL than Fernando Tatis Jr.? Right?
No, if it's you like have him an IL Acuna, spot,
right? Like, it's a given, like, yeah. Unless you're in a one IL spot league and you have Acuna and Tatis, you're not really pressured right now. Put him on the IL and let him be when he comes back. You have to remember, he only had minimum stays on the IL last year. And every time he came back, he was immediately productive. There's a story called Harrison Bergeron about this like dystopian society where everybody has to wear these like weight handicaps and masks. Like if you're pretty, you have to wear an ugly mask. If you're strong, you have to wear weight handicaps. It's like to make everyone equal. And there's like some universe, I think, where Fernando Tatis is our Harrison Bergeron. And if we take the injuries away, he'll just float into the sky and just live up there then because he's too good for the rest of us. I don't mean that in like a, he thinks he's too good. No, he is. He actually is. He's just better than all of us at everything.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly in terms of when he's healthy, when he's in the lineup, he's, you know, one of the top three players.
Which was 130 games last year, Joe.
Yeah.
130.
So he missed 32. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, we've had this conversation before where, you know, I was always worried about the shoulder. I didn't realize that the guy's riding motorbikes in the off season and he's having multiple accidents. But anyway, it's funny. I remember listening to a podcast with Ian Khan, who is a very successful fantasy baseball player, also played George Washington on the show Turn. The best George Washington I've ever seen, and I'm a big George Washington fan. But anyway, I remember him saying that he rostered him in a dynasty league, but just his style of play, his over-aggressiveness, he actually traded him away. But and I just want to bring up a point. You mentioned that if you have Acuna and Tatis on the same team, you're either playing in a six-team league? Or
that's a three-team league.
or maybe it's an auction league where you just blew all your money on your first, you know, two throws out there or whatnot. But it's just so what are the Padres? It looks like it's going to be Ha-Seong Kim. There's also CJ Abrams, but he's 20 years old, only played 76 professional games, but really good. But I guess that it looks like it's going to be Kim playing every day while Tatis recuperates, no?
I think there's no way the roster stays what it looks like today because the roster today looks like it has Nomar Mazara on it. And I don't think teams trying to contend for playoff spots are putting Nomar Mazara in the field.
Right? It's a little hard. No.
that's just not going to happen. So they do have some guys in the minors, but most of them are quite a bit younger. So I think what we're going to see is some kind of signing, free agent signing, trades. I don't know, because they're pretty rich in the minors, but they can't expect to win a tough division with three non-roster invitees expected to make the roster, right? Like, that's just not going to cut it. So I do wonder how exactly they're going to pull it off, but there are still plenty of good free agents still out there, right? Like, if they were really worried, there's this other shortstop kid named Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
He's not been linked in.
Trevor Story's still out there if they want to masher.
Kyle Schwarber is still out there to play left field instead of Nomar Mazara, right? Mm-hmm. Nick Castellanos still out there, right? Chris Bryant still out. I mean, there's a lot of really good players, right? I mean, a really interesting one from a fantasy perspective. I'd love to see it. Like, I don't think they will again, but like a Jonathan VR all of a sudden becomes very valuable there. I'm going to be watching. I mean, they could always have a reunion with Tommy Pham, right? There's a lot of things this team could do. So I would say keep a close eye on them because they could very well still be players. And that's just on the free agent market. That's not even talking about trades.
Right. Right. Yeah. If they sign Story when he comes back, when Tatis comes back, maybe Story could move over to second or something.
They've got a DH spot in it right now. It looks like it's taken by Jurickson and Profar. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. All right. So I think, we've exhausted Tatis, right? We can't go over every single transaction that's happened. Otherwise, this would be like a three-hour podcast. But here's the theme, right? The A's and the Reds are big-time sellers. And today on the 14th, like I said, we're recording this on the 14th, Matt Olson was finally traded by the A's to the Braves, which, you know, it was rumored, but a shocker, Freddie Freeman, no longer Brave.
Yeah, what a weird feeling, right? We talked about him in the first base podcast. And what we said was it doesn't really matter where he goes.
Correct.
Except for the part where it looks really weird that he's not in an Atlanta uniform, right? Like that part's really weird. But everything else, like the team is still going to be in great shape.
I think he'd look good in pinstripes, tell you the truth, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Whatever, Joe, you and your Yankees. No, I think that it's weird, but at the same time, it's a good fit for Matt Olson. I think that Freddie Freeman's a good fit wherever he goes because he's just really good, right? Like you make him fit, right? So it's very interesting news from a real baseball perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, I'm not sure it did a whole lot, right? Like both of these, like for example, the two main guys, you know, with Olson and Freeman, they were going to play all year. Didn't matter where they played. And like the statistical output they were going to create wasn't dependent entirely on the teams they were on or the lineups around them, right? Mm-hmm, Freddie Freeman's not going to go to the Pirates, okay? So as long as he goes to like a top half team, he's an elite producer.
Right.
Just like he was when Atlanta was only a top half team and not an elite one, right? And Matt Olson is going to a better hitting environment because the Coliseum's really rough. And ultimately, the big thing for him is he's got big, big raw power. And we hope that he can unlock it in Atlanta, just like he did in Oakland. And he's got a slightly better surrounding cast, but not enough to necessarily move the needle because the analysis with him isn't like, oh, I wish his team around him was better. It's more like, I wish that he could just be a little more consistent. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing inherent about Georgia versus California that makes a person more consistent at playing baseball.
Right? Interestingly enough, he is from Georgia, right? Originally. So.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. So like, that's cool, but there's not, like, a lot of fantasy news there unless you were like in an AL-only league. And then like, sorry.
Hmm. Yeah. Like I mentioned, A's just depleting their roster. And by the time you hear this, I'm sure there'll be even more players gone off the roster. But Mets have been very active this offseason. They also traded for Chris Bassett. A's traded Bassett to the Mets. And I tell you, you know, we don't talk a lot about pitching on this podcast, mostly a hitting news and whatnot, but I love that move for the Mets. And as a Yankee fan, I'm kind of nervous because it seems like the Mets might be taking over the town, but I love the move Chris Bassett to the Mets.
You must be overstimulated, Joe, because I've never heard a Yankees fan be actually worried about the Mets. Right, that's never happened.
I've lived through the Stump Merrill years, so I've seen
some bad Yankee teams. Honestly, for me, still the thing I don't quite know what's going to happen with the Mets is when you look at their roster. Like, yeah, I really did like that ad for Chris Bassett because the last two parts of their rotation, Carrasco and Walker, do have some big question marks. Jake DeGrom is obviously a question mark. They had. You know, it's not really a young pitching staff. So adding Chris Bassett there, who's been a nice rock for the last few years, I think that's a really nice move for them. I'm really more worried about their lineup because I'm trying to figure out, like, they've got this weird assortment of pieces. And I'm trying to figure out how we got a DH. We've had all this roster turnover, and they still have no idea what to do with J.D. Davis or Dominic Smith. They appear to have just no idea what they want to do with these guys, how they're going to ever deploy them. And you look at the roster now, and I still don't see it, right? They've got Robbie Cano locked into that DH spot. They've got, you know, pretty good fielders all around. They just signed Eduardo Escobar, so they're not gonna like sit him a bunch. Like, where do these guys play? And so that's the one thing to me, is I really wanted the DH to be something for JD Davis and Dominic Smith. And looking at the roster, I don't see it. I can't rank those guys because I just don't see how they'll play.
No. And other good point, by the way, but non-fantasy news, Pete Alonso walked away from a horrible car. Did you see the pictures of what the car looked like? His car got T-boned on his way to spring training. So thank God, you know, that he survived and was able to walk away from that. But, and you mentioned DeGrom. See that now he's going to play out this season, and he is going to option out and become a free agent at the end of the season. And I guess he's going to be looking for Max Scherzer money, right? $43 million per? That's where he starts?
I mean, that's where he starts. It won't be where he ends, right? Wow, he's going to get amazing. A lot of money. Yeah. I think the big news to me was that he's in line to start opening day.
Yeah.
That's what they say, right? And he's been a big question mark. We don't know how much he'll pitch, whatever. What we do know is that when he pitches, he's the absolute best baseball player, like best pitcher on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, since 2018, his numbers are comical how good he's been. Yeah. So, you know, that's really exciting news for the Mets. So, I mean, the Mets are getting good news, which is great. It just makes me worry because it's like the Mets don't usually get good news. So when this happens, like something catastrophic is on the horizon.
Well, if you want bad news, Starling Marte, oblique issue, nothing. Yeah, you know, the x-rays came back negative, but that's a little bit of bad news for them. Mets are a cursed team. Let's face it. It just seems that they just have bad luck, but we'll see. I wish them the best. I wish them the best. But so I mentioned that the Reds are selling off too, right? And is a guy that you've mentioned once or twice on our podcast, Eugenio Suarez?
Former Tiger. Eugenio Suarez. Actually, he was traded for Alfredo Simone back in like 2014 in what is undoubtedly the worst trade they've had in recent memory. Because Alfredo Big Pasta was just not very good. Like, he was one of those guys that, like, we were all just kind of getting into sabermetrics, and we were all kind of like, ooh, this guy's not very good. He's a fraud. And the Tigers were like, don't care. We're taking him. So he goes to my buddy Mikey Hedo's Mariners, and it's weird because, one, I didn't even realize he was part of the trade because all the news was about Jesse Winker.
Right.
But you know, what's weird is I really thought this was going to make me change their value. Like, I was going to move them in my ranks, and I didn't. And it's because for Winker, the issue is not where he plays. His power plays everywhere. I need him to play, right? The nice thing is that the Reds were like weirdly intent on platooning him every chance they got. And the Mariners kind of can't, right? Like, you would never sit a Jesse Winker for Dylan Moore or the same-handed Taylor Trammell. Like, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, as long he's going to be batting third in a lineup that is improving, that's scrappy. It's not great, but it's scrappy, right? Mm-hmm. There's a Ty France in there. Gerald Kelenic is going to be right behind him. I'll have Eugenio Suarez behind that. At the top is Adam Frazier. Okay, contact. Yeah, you got Haniger. It's a scrappy lineup, so... I mean, the park is obviously not as friendly to home runs as Great American Ballpark, a.k.a. Great American Small Park. But again, these are two guys with power that plays in any stadium. Eugenio Suarez didn't need short walls to hit bombs.
Right.
Right. You don't hit 50 bombs because you got short walls. You hit 50 bombs because you're real strong. And I think that he can grow on that. And, you know, with the weird outputs we've seen in Cincinnati from hitting, it was great to see like Joey Votto have a rejuvenated year and Jesse Winker did good. In recent history, though, they've had a really weird track record of like lack of success. Mike Moustakas had struggled a lot out of nowhere. Eugenio Suarez started struggling a lot in 2020. Nick Castellanos struggled a lot.
Season where all of them slumped at the same time.
So it's like, you know, maybe the Mariners see something, then get Eugenio Suarez some of that back. Either way, I think you take the same exact risk on them that you did before. And yeah, maybe cross off a couple home runs. But I mean, with these guys, their production was going to be so high level that you didn't like those two or three home runs might not even hurt. And it might not even happen because if they play more or can play closer to their true talent, like Suarez, those couple home runs you lost from the walls that, you know, are made up from the fact that they played a full season and found some of their true talent.
Right. And I agree with you. Winker's going to play every day, But I think the reason why the Reds wanted to platoon Winker was his issues hitting against left-handed pitching, batted 177 against them last season. So, but I do agree with you. I think he's going to be playing every day. But just, you know, keep in mind with that, if you ever use him in a DFS lineup, make sure that he's batting against a right-handed pitcher. So the Reds also traded Sonny Gray to the Twins, and we'll talk about the Twins in a few minutes. But so now, what do the Reds have left? I mean, looks like Aristides Aquino is going to be getting everyday at-bats, I think, in right field. Remember Nick Senzel? I think he's going to, according to Roster Resource, he's going to be their starting center fielder. And you got to wonder, he was a very highly regarded prospect for the Reds, but just a lot of injuries and whatnot. And then Jake Fraley going to get every day at bats in left field, and nobody's going to roster Fraley in a deep fantasy league, but Roster Resource says he's going to hit 13 home runs and 12 stolen bases.
Yeah, actually, Jake Fraley's an interesting name because he actually was, he was something last season, right? We talked about him from time to time because his batting average is atrocious, but his plate discipline is wild, right? Last season, 17.4% walk rate, 26.8% strikeout rate, and the batting average was 210, but that OBP, 352, right? The slugging was also not that great, but in an OBP league, this guy's got just enough power and speed to be sort of, you know, sort of interesting in a way, right? In a full season, which no one would ever give him. But if he got it, he could be like a 2020 guy. No one's going to give that to him, but I don't think
Reds might be forced to.
Yeah. And like 15-15 is not out of the question. Again, in a normal, like in a batting average league, I don't think you can deal with this because the batting average is always going to be bad. He doesn't put a ton of balls in play. He does strike out a lot, but the OBP plays, right? Like I don't even like him in leagues that count slugging, because that slug's never going to be much over 400, but he can scrape together a really nice OBP and some power and speed, and is should be someone that's at least on your watch list for those hot streaks or maybe stretches of time where the Mariners are playing well.
Like I said, we're going to get to the Twins in a second, but I just want to mention the Blue Jays. They've been very aggressive as well, and maybe by the time you hear this, they might even have a big first baseman who lives part-time in Canada on their roster. Believe it or not, yeah, they're making a play for Freddie Freeman, and it'd be interesting to see if that works out. But they signed Yusei Kikuchi, and like I said, who knows who else is going to be on their roster by the next time you hear this, but I think they're going to be the class of the AL East for the next several years. I mean, just look at all that talent there, Scott.
Man, that over the last season and a half or so, they've really reinvented that pitching staff. And that's a big part of, I think, why they're willing to invest so much on the hitting side. Because, you know, the rich get richer with hitting, but and, you know, 2 years ago, this rotation was a joke, and we're all wondering, are any of them worth, like, rostering besides Hyunjin Ryu? And now Hyunjin Ryu is their third guy, right? Jose Berríos, Kevin Gausman, Hyunjin Ryu, Alek Manoah, and Yusei Kikuchi. So this no longer puts too much pressure on the aging, sometimes inconsistent Hyunjin Ryu. Now balances a lot of what this team can do across there. The, like, it's just amazing that, you know, if you add Freddie Freeman, and they could really use a left-handed hitter, right? This lineup is really, really right-hand heavy. The one lefty they have is Kevin Biggio, who's not someone I think they want to play full-time based on how much he struggled in years past. But I think they would love to bring, you know, bring a Freddie Freeman in and then maybe move like a Biggio to third or something like that. And just, you know, something, get rid of Santiago Espinal or something and just get these hitters in the lineup, right? And they'll also accept the fact that, you know, you don't necessarily expect George Springer to play a full season. You know, you don't expect consistent production out of like a Randall Grichuk all season. They have ways to move this stuff around. So, I mean, Biggio can play in the outfield a little bit to get more lefties in. They're going to have to be able to stop some right-handed aces because they got a couple of them in their division. And I think the way they're going to do that is with a left-handed hitter like a Freddie Freeman, right? You got to make, you got to make some of these righties like a Gerrit Cole pause for a second if you're going to beat them in a bunch of these series. I think one way you do that is with a Freddie Freeman. You can't do it with an all right-handed lineup because Gerrit Cole's too good. You can't beat him consistently that way. And you're going to have to win this division. So I do think they're going to make a move, and that'd be a really cool one for them to make. Even if I don't quite know how the roster will work out, I think that if you're the Blue Jays ownership, you're kind of thinking like, it doesn't really matter how we're going to shake. Let that shake out on its own. Right. Get the best players. We want to win a championship.
That's a good point that they're looking for a left-handed batter. And by the time this podcast drops on the 16th, you'll know probably who that left-handed batter is, whether it's going to be Freeman. There was even rumors that they were looking into Kyle Schwarber. So we'll see. But they're definitely going to remain active. And like I said, as a Yankee fan in the AL East, they're a team that scares me for the next several years. But why don't we take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about what the Twins, Rangers, and my Yankees did. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back. Hacks and Jacks, Joe Gallina and Scott Chu. And we've been teasing what the Twins, Yankees, Rangers did. And, you know, can't wait to talk about my Yankees there, Scott. We're also going to talk about your Tigers. Why don't we talk about your Tigers first? They're great. AJ Hinch telling the media that, hey, Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson actually have a shot at making the Tigers opening day roster. And Miggy Cabrera saying, hey, I'll play DH, you know, just let the kid play first base.
Miggy wants to win games again, right? Miggy knows that he's almost 39 years old and that he loves playing baseball. There's no one that has more fun on the baseball diamond than Miguel Cabrera, even when the guy can barely move and run. Mm-hmm. I think that he'd be more than happy to DH most of the time if that meant bringing in players to this team to win. Because if the Tigers saw anything last year, it's that they're not a bad ball club, right? They went 500 after the month of April. April was terrible, but after that, they went 500. They've made some moves. Mm-hmm. You obviously know I love Akil Baddoo, who's going to bat at the top of that lineup. They've got Robbie Grossman. Added Javier Baez. I mean, there's a lot to this lineup. They just need a little more depth. I think the way they can get that are players like Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green. I don't know if both of them will be up right away. Maybe one of them. I don't know if they'll get consistent playing time right away, but by midseason, I would be expecting that some of these big stars that the Tigers have been hiding in the minors are going to be up and they're going to be ready to play. Another guy I like, I'm going to keep dropping this name for you real deep league folks, Isak Paredes. A lot of other Tigers folks don't necessarily like him. I love the bat. I think that he's sort of positionless, but he's got a great feel for contact. He hit really well in AAA right along with like Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson. He put up just as good of numbers as they did in that level. And I think that that's another really interesting guy that could bring up, especially if an injury happens or if they decide they want to move some more players around. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. Like if they don't bring up Torkelson, that means they'll put probably Jonathan Schoop back at first base most of the time and find someone else to play second base, like an Isak Paredes, something like that. So just something to keep in mind. These Tigers are going to surprise some people next year. I think that it's interesting if you look at betting sites. I think they usually have the second best odds to win the AL Central. There's a reason these casinos and everything are sort of hot on the Tigers right now. Now, that'll probably change after all these trades, but the Tigers have something brewing.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. When we were doing this podcast last year, and the Tigers swept my Yankees, and I was like, you know, they're a pretty scrappy team. And like you said, I think it was after the first month of the season, they were a 500 team. And a lot of the experts are picking the Tigers to play over 500 this season. And I'm glad that we got to do this podcast together right at the time as the Tigers, I think, are going to take off. So I'm with you there.
Oh, it's beautiful. We got more Baddoo and Scooble talk coming, folks, all season long. They're great.
Let's go back to what the Twins and the Rangers and the Yankees did.
So lots of things happening, lots of moving pieces. But originally, the trade that we were kind of excited about is the Twins acquired Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, catcher, third base, shortstop extraordinaire from the Rangers, and they gave up Mitch Garver, right? So the Twins felt like they got a shortstop to play this season, and the Rangers felt like they got another bat, right? A guy that they could bat in the middle of the lineup, and that's really cool. And then later that day, we found that the Twins didn't get their shortstop in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa because they traded Kiner-Falefa and Josh Donaldson to the Yankees to get Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela. Right? So they
traded also Ben Rotvert, hopefully yes. I get that name, to the Yankees too. So the Yankees, basically the two teams traded headaches, right? The Twins got rid of Josh Donaldson, oft injured, still a very capable power hitter. But not only did they get rid of him and his injury proneness, but they got rid of $50 million of salary because the Yankees ate that. And the Yankees got rid of their headache and Gary Sanchez. And, you know, I've been very vocal about how bad Gary Sanchez is.
Oh, that Gary is scary.
But I'm just, you know, wishing the best for him. Maybe this is exactly what he needs, you know, a change of pace. A new place to play where the media isn't really on top of him or anything. But, you know, Gio Urshela, I'm going to miss him. but Kiner-Falefa is our shortstop. Josh Donaldson is the Yankees' third baseman. And how do you put Josh Donaldson and Gerrit Cole, who hate each other, on the same team, Scott?
Yeah, especially because that's going to be the direction Cole's facing every pitch, right? Right at him. So that'll be a lot of fun. I won't be surprised he's going to get a couple days of rest every fifth day. Keep him healthy, right? But I think that it's a really interesting move. Kiner-Falefa is just not a fantasy factor in 10 and 12 team leagues unless he has catcher eligibility, and he doesn't anymore. He's not ever going to get it back. He was never really intended to be a catcher. He actually won a gold glove playing third in 2020. So he's a much better fielder than that. He turns a lot of double plays. He's a solid defensive shortstop, and that's going to put Gleyber Torres back at second. I mean, that just, you know, it didn't work out. And they had just announced Urshela as the starting shortstop, but he didn't have very much experience.
Earlier that day, Aaron Boone told the media, Urshela is my starting shortstop.
Yeah, it felt like he said it, and then the brass were like, what, who? Hold on. And then
did you hear what Booney said?
Yeah. Wait, Gio? Oh, no. Make some phone calls. But nothing against Gio Urshela. He actually has a really nice, he's been really good at hitting for a high average, right? I just wrote up the shortstop ranks, and I think you'd be really surprised at how well he's hit over the last 2 years, right? Really, in his whole career, he was really bad when he was with Cleveland and Toronto. In terms of batting average, he had these like 220 batting averages. But with the Yankees, his overall batting average is like 280 something.
Yes.
He's been really, really good for them. He has, you know, modest power, but he's a guy who he can really boost batting average. And he's a guy, again, he's more of like a watch list, like back end guy, because he hasn't exactly played full seasons in a while. But don't forget 2019, right? The guy hit 314. 21 home runs, 132 games in the shortened season. He hit 298 again, right? Slugged almost 500. We didn't see the power last season. And, you know, the plate discipline wasn't quite as good, but there's upside here on the Twins team that is going to hit a lot better than they did last season, right? That the Twins are a team I'm really excited about, if only because, I mean, I'm more excited about my Tigers, but the Twins have done a lot to really shore up. This was a team that I thought should have competed for the AL Central title last year. It just fell apart. They could not find any sort of sense in pitching. So they did pick up Sonny Gray and they signed Dylan Bundy. That's a big plus, right? It's still the back end of their rotation is scary. Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan, Randy Dobnak, whatever other collection of guys they can kind of get. But the lineup, still, it's still weirdly crowded, but there's a lot of pieces here. Right, top to bottom. I mean, you've got Gio Urshela batting eighth, Alex Kirilloff, who's promising, batting seventh. I wonder how long they're going to keep Gary. You know, roster resources says Gary Sanchez is going to bat sixth. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets moved to something like eighth or ninth. Everybody else moves up, but there's a lot of hitters on this team. They can really do some damage. They'll really, I think, go after teams that have, you know, some fly ball right-handed pitching, because there's a lot of really strong lefties on this team. But yeah, it's going to be a wild ride in the AL Central. I'll tell you that.
And having watched Gio Urshela every day as a Yankee fan, when he first came up, they billed him exactly the way that you said, basically an all glove, no bat kind of guy. But he did surprise. He has up to 20 home run type of power. And like you mentioned, he batted over 300 one season, and he can hit for, a 270, 280 average. And he's going to, the way Roster Resource sees it, he's going to be their everyday third baseman. And in deeper leagues, he might be worth a flyer as a corner infielder, obviously on your bench. I'm talking like 15-team leagues. It's going to be interesting to see, like we had talked about Jose Miranda, if he could get in there too, because he could play some third base, or he might DH. And you're right, just looking at this lineup here, got a lot of moving parts, but some really good stuff here. Obviously, Buxton and, Kepler has been slumping over the past few years, but, he has the capability of hitting 30 home runs. And, Trevor Larnach is a decent minor league pedigree. So, could be an interesting team to watch. And Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan, some decent numbers in the minor leagues, and they could put it together. Sonny Gray, if Dylan Bundy could find his way from pitch the way he did a couple of years ago,
as long as he's not in Baltimore, I think he's got a chance to reach his potential. Yeah. And I mean, Randy Dobnak's got a great mustache. So there's a lot of good things happening in the rotation. And then again, in the lineup, this isn't the most durable team either, right? Mm-hmm. Like how healthy will Miguel Sano be? How healthy will Byron Buxton be? How healthy will Gary Sanchez be? How healthy can this team stay? Right. Mm-hmm. There's going to be opportunities for guys like a Jose Miranda to come up and make an impact. Right. Brent Rooker, another guy on their bench that is really good. Nick Gordon was once a highly regarded prospect. He's mostly speed. Right. He's a former first overall pick. But I mean, it's a lot of moving parts, but it's a lot of really exciting stuff. I think it's going to be a big pain for weekly league managers early on till we get a good idea of how they're going to make everything work. But just a lot of promising pieces here. And that's not even talking about the guys that are down in like AAA. They acquired Austin Martin, who was a first round pick in 2020. He's like a top 60 overall prospect. They've got all kinds of guys who've played in the majors before. Derek Fisher, Kyle Garlick, Jake Cave. There's a lot of pieces here. So this team is now very, very deep, right? So a little annoying for fantasy purposes. I mean, they've also got Royce Lewis, who can play shortstop. He's another top 70 prospect or so.
Yep.
I wonder how it's all going to work. And I think it might be a really, really good offense and a really, really good real baseball team, and a painful one for fantasy managers at times, especially with the whole bottom half of the lineup.
Yeah. And taking a look at what the Yankees lineup looks like now. And the thing is, I mean, the Yankees were in on the Matt Olson, trying to get him to be traded, but the A's were holding out. They wanted Anthony Volpe, and that he's a prize shortstop prospect that the Yankees were not willing to part with. And then there's another shortstop that they have. He's a little closer to making the major league, Oswaldo Peraza. And tell you the truth, I thought that maybe they might have given him a chance if they hadn't made this trade and gotten Kiner Falefa as their shortstop. But you describe Falefa having, little fantasy value, and I kind of agree, except for maybe deeper leagues, only for the fact that he could give you maybe 15 to 20 steals, and steals are such a big commodity that fantasy managers are looking for these days. But in real life, when you're looking at the Yankees lineup now, Falefa is a right-handed batter. So Yankees lineup is very right-handed. They have their, stopgap shortstop right now, the Yankees do. So we'll see how it works out. Wasn't thrilled with this trade, especially with the Yanks taking $50 million of Donaldson's salary, and just Donaldson's recent injury history. That's very scary to me.
Yeah. I don't want to make too much of this, but I've been really interested in some of like the non-roster invitees that they've brought in to New York and these like little one-year deals, because they keep signing a bunch of speedsters. I'm trying to figure out what
Jose
they're trying
Peraza,
to do.
Right?
Jose Peraza, Tim LoCastro. Mm-hmm. He was today. And then if you go and look in like the minor league, the guys that got minor league contracts, Ender Inciarte, mm-hmm. right? He's down mm-hmm. there. He's another guy yeah. that can really run. So I'm kind of just like, what are you guys doing?
They're the go Yankees now.
Yeah, it's like, is this going to be a team that runs?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Really interesting. I doubt they keep all of these guys, but they're clearly looking for a speed piece, and they didn't care about the handedness, which I thought mm-hmm. was interesting. I guess they're going to hope that Joey Gallo is all of the left-handed power they need, but mm-hmm. I don't know how much they're going to, I think they are going to make more moves. I just don't know how splashy they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm kind of looking around the available free agents that are left-handed. They were never going to be in on Freeman because they weren't, I don't think they were in on some of the big shortstops. I don't think they're looking for that big of a contract, but it'd be cool. Right. Freeman would definitely fill a void there. And Luke Voit is certainly not someone who is super healthy. Kyle Schwarber would be another really nice fit for them.
You read my mind. Yeah. I was just going to mention him.
Yeah. He's a really nice one that fits in a lot of places, or even a return of Anthony Rizzo.
That's what they're saying is going to happen.
I think that's the most likely, but again, I mean, mm-hmm. he's a left-handed hitter who can do some really nice things. And then you can start going, then you can start getting like further down the list and looking for a couple other, more replacement level bats. If you wanted to get like a Brad Miller, who's more of like a pinch hit type, Eddie Rosario, I think is still out mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
Michael Conforto still out there. He's another guy that I think could be interesting for them. Who's left-handed. Or, every time a guy's left, a team needs a left-handed bat, you're going to see two names that come up as cheap, which are Corey Dickerson and Jock Peterson. Again, two mm-hmm. guys who I think could be really interesting for the Yankees, because being a lefty and hitting for the Yankees is a really good thing. So right. I wonder how that's all going to play out. And at the same, they can really go a lot of different directions here. So, hold on to your butts. It's going to be a crazy week. We're going to see how these lineups shake out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of Yankee fans scratching their heads over these trades that the Yankees made recently, and like you just mentioned, wondering what comes next. So we'll see. But like I mentioned, Oswaldo Peraza, Anthony Volpe look like they are going to be the future left side of the Yankee infield. Maybe Oswaldo Peraza, maybe they can move him over to third base, but they're really high on Anthony Volpe. But I think his target date, if you look at the MLB website, maybe 2024, but everyone's real high on him. So I wanted the Yankees to just get rid of Aaron Hicks, eat his contract, and maybe use some of those big bucks that everybody says the Yankees have and try to sign Seiya Suzuki and his 402 OBP. But I wonder if by the time this podcast drops, we'll know where he's going. There were rumors that he was going to go to the Padres, but I think he came out with an Instagram post. He said there are seven other teams that he's considering, but we'll see where he ends up. But that's going to be a very interesting player, see how he pans out in the major leagues.
Well, at least Aaron Hicks isn't hitting third anymore, right?
Thank God.
Like, he is an underrated hitter when he's actually healthy, which is never, but he should never have been hitting third. He's going to be batting probably at the bottom of the order. Makes a lot of sense. It's hard to find center fielders.
Mm-hmm.
Teams don't let good ones go. So I kind of get why they've been a little hesitant to move him around, because I don't know if they feel like they have someone to play center if he's gone. So they'd have to get someone, and not a lot of teams looking to give one up, except for maybe, weirdly, I don't think they'll trade with them because they're kind of after some of the same pieces. But there's one team that has multiple center fielders on the roster, and it's actually Atlanta. They've got Christian Pache and Drew Waters, who are both ready to play.
Well, Pache went in the deal.
That's right.
Yeah. He just I think they sent him to Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland. That's right. Mm-hmm. Just an absolutely giant outfield for him to cover. So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they also acquired the catching prospect Shea Langeliers. Mm-hmm. So that was a really interesting move. And one that I really like for Oakland too, because let's be real, they weren't really set up to compete this year, and at least they're giving the fans what they want, right? Which is, mm-hmm. if you're not going to win, sell. And they kind of are out of pieces to trade, really, unless they really want to get rid of Matt Chapman, which would cost another team a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of prospects, whatever it is.
Yeah, he was linked to the Phillies. Who knows by the time this podcast drops where he'll be, but I know the Phillies were very interested in him.
Yeah. And they've got a DH lined up, which is Eric Thames, who just keeps coming back.
We mentioned him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Eric Thames coming back. Like, he's not going to play that much, but there's power there. He might be a sneaky, like, weekend stream or something like that. But just so many moving parts all over the league. And usually in these off seasons, we're waiting for like this guy to go, then everything else happens, right? We're waiting for this guy to go and everything else happens. And in this off season, that's just not what's happening. This off season, players just moving. Nobody cares. Like, they're not waiting for so-and-so to sign. Everybody's just like, get me a contract. Let's play baseball.
What do you think, Andy Ibañez? Right now, he's the roster resource has him as the Rangers' third baseman. First of all, you think the Rangers are done? And if not, this Andy Ibañez is a little interesting to me. He's one of these, you know, older prospects, right? 28 years old. He's played only 76 major league games, right? But 288, 355, 455, triple slash in 5 minor league seasons could be a sneaky play down the road.
Yeah, you know what he reminds me of, at least from a statistical output perspective, is like a slightly toned down Ty France. That's a guy who can be really valuable with plate appearances, and then without them is not really super valuable. So I like Andy Ibañez. He did show some flashes last season. He does not have a ton of power in this bat. He's not very fast. He's like an all-hit tool guy. But you know what? So is Jake Cronenworth, right? And that's the kind of upside you could see from him. I'm not comparing him to Jake Cronenworth. It's just with this archetype, that's the sort of upside. The Ty France, Jake Cronenworth type with up to 20 home run power and a good batting average. That's what we have in an Andy Ibañez if it goes well.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, again, maybe not even a watch list in 12 teamers, but in 15 teamers, something to keep an eye on. He doesn't steal bases, but he could provide some batting average and do some good things.
And a little pop.
So, I don't hate it. And what's kind of fun right now is, I have some pretty serious ADD, ADHD, whichever you want to call it. And this offseason has been perfect for it because every time I'm about to fall down a rabbit hole, a new move is made, right? Like even this podcast, right? We're just jumping from team to team. Everything's interesting. Everything's fun. This is just so like, this is everything we've been waiting for this whole stupid lockout. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just glad that we can talk about real baseball. We can talk about teams making moves. We're not even talking about some of the big, like we haven't even talked about some of the relievers that got signed. I'm not sure if any of them are going to close, but they could. Ian Kennedy mixes stuff up in Arizona.
Alex Colome with the Rockies could take over for Carlos Estevez, right? Adam Ottavino with the Mets now.
And Brad Hand went over to the Phillies.
Yeah. Yuris Familia joins the Phillies too. So the Phillies really revamping that bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we won't get into all of that. Because I'm not as good with relievers. I would definitely be telling people to check out any work that's dropped by Rick Graham and our team who work really hard on relief pitchers. I think the one player I didn't talk about, you mentioned him. I want to bring him back up because I'm ADD, right? I want to go back to the Reds. I do want to talk just a tiny bit about Aristides Aquino, and not because I think you need to draft him or anything, right? The strikeouts are still untenable, but he started walking more. He started walking more. And you know, again, he only hit 190 and the OBP was still sub 300, right? But those kinds of improvements can lead to something, right? He's only 27 years old. Everybody knows he's got power, but there's a chance he can make the type of change that we need him to make because he has power and speed. Whenever someone has power and speed, we're always going to hope. We're always going to dream. And if you're going to hope and dream, I don't hate doing it with a guy like Aristides Aquino because you can do it from the sidelines. You don't actually have to invest a roster spot or anything like that, right? All you have to know is that the walk rate really started improving. And yes, the strikeout rate also really started spiking at the end of last season, but he's made adjustments there before. If he can make, he's got to make a big adjustment because he's not quite Miguel Sano. But if this guy could even bat like 210 or 220, he has niche use in fantasy, right? A streamer when the lineups are right. If he could just get like a split or something, I mean, give me anything to hang my hat on and say, I can start this guy then. Right. Because if he can give me that, like if we can just say, all right, Aquino, you're not that bad against lefties. Right. And he wasn't terrible. He had a 761 OPS against him. He only hit 198, but he can really
60 points
that.
More than he hit against righties.
Yeah, almost 100 points more, right? It's not good. So he can really bump that up. He's like a step away. The plate discipline against lefties was very good, right? Mm-hmm. It was 15% walk rate to go with that 28% strikeout rate. Mm-hmm. So if he can just make one more change, he all of a sudden has relevance. I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying he has relevance.
Every day at bats, he's going to hit 30 home runs.
He'll go on streaks where he'll be the top player available on your wire, and it might be worth a look for the short term. So just another name to keep in mind. There's all
Aristides
sorts of those.
Aquino.
Yeah. The one that went on the craziest rookie power surge we've ever seen and then absolutely cratered afterwards.
Yep.
So, it's something that can happen. I am really interested to just see how the Reds turn out. I don't really know what they're going to do. I don't know what anyone's going to do. And by the time we record again next week, we're probably going to have to go through all of these again.
It will be interesting to see what the Reds roster does look like, because it looks like they're just tearing it down. So, I'll just bring up three other guys and then we're going to head out of here. And then, hey, next week we got to finish up our outfield preview. And you said that maybe Dylan Burris could join us, right?
I hope so. He did an excellent job writing up the outfield ranks, which are all available over at Pitcher List. Like I said, the last of my ranks are going to be done and published by the time this article comes out tomorrow morning. Then I just have to do the hitter list, the top 150. So that'll be probably in about 2 weeks. That'll be our episode, just going through my first hitter list, the top 150 catchers, top 150 players. Not very many catchers on the list, sorry. But top 150 hitters, that'll be really fun to go through. That's probably in like 2 or 3 weeks or so when I finally figure out who everyone's playing for, right? It's one thing to do a positional ranking, and then you got to slam them all together, and you got to start comparing guys who are different positions, and that'll be a lot of fun. It's my first season doing it, taking over for the great John Metzelaar. So I'm excited to do that. And I hope Dylan can come and tell me how much he liked writing my rankings and how much he disagreed with them during the process.
Any other, I look forward to if he does come on. Any other deals that moved you, like Carlos Rodon to the Giants, Nelson Cruz batting behind Juan Soto in the Nationals?
I really like those. I love the Carlos
Clayton
Rodon.
Kershaw, by the way, back with the Dodgers.
Yeah, weird, right? I really like the Carlos Rodon one, because if anybody has found the secret sauce for pitching, it's the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Right? They're the team right now. It was the Astros for a while. It's been other teams. Right now, it's the Giants. They've got the secret sauce. They've got a guy who really unlocked something last season. Even if the durability is not all there in a 10 or 12 team league, I think Nick's got a lot. Like, I'm sure Nick loves that he went to the Giants. He gets a great ballpark.
Yeah.
And he gets a team that has just learned how to get the most out of pitching that other people couldn't.
Galvin, it's a win-win because the Giants are getting a good pitcher, and it's a 2-year deal, but he could opt out, Carlos Rodon. So he's banking on himself and obviously has incentive to really do well. So I like it for both parties.
Yeah, it's a great move, and I drafted him in several leagues, and I'm feeling really, really good.
You should. Yeah. And nice to see Kershaw back on a 1-year deal with the Dodgers. You know, who knows, could be his last year. And he's one of these guys where you like it when they play their entire career for one team. You know, like it's old school kind of stuff.
Yeah, if he went anywhere, I'd want it to be like a Tom Brady kind of thing, where he goes somewhere just to win his championship and get out.
Yeah.
Right. He's already got a couple, but why not? What's one more?
Tom Brady, man.
One more, right? One more. So I like that part of it. I think that obviously the Dodgers are still really good. It's weird Kershaw being their third pitcher on the list, right? Mm-hmm. Like Bueller, then Urias, and then Kershaw, which is weird because you just expect him to be on top. I think he'll start opening day. I wonder when Dustin May is going to come back, because he was absolutely on fire.
Middle of the season, I think.
Yeah, something like expecting. That. Mm-hmm. He's got one of those super sliders or super sinkers that just goes like 102 miles an hour and moves, even though it doesn't strike a ton of guys out. No one can do anything to it. That'll be exciting. But yeah, I mean, I'm so excited, Joe. There's so many moving pieces and we're not even done.
You mentioned the word exciting, and I'll tell you, just being a baseball fan, these past several days has just been incredible. So, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come. And, we don't even want to talk about rumors, because by the time this podcast drops, there'll be new rumors, and the rumors that we tell you about today while we're recording on the 14th won't mean anything. So just sit back, enjoy the ride, keep on doing your mock drafts, and then within a week, once the dust settles, you know, do your regular drafts and just have fun. That's what baseball's all about.
And for, you know, just your own sanity, push that draft date as far as you can.
Oh yeah.
This is a unique offseason where a lot of things are happening. I think we're going to see stuff happening all through
pitchers aren't stretched out. You know, you're hearing a lot that, you know, this pitcher's not going to be ready for opening day. Lance McCullers isn't going to be ready. Ranger Suarez is having problems getting into the country. There's other pitchers that aren't stretched out enough where they think that they'll be able to, you know, start the season in the rotation. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's
hard enough to work out in a regular season, managing all that. It's happening even crazier now. So just wait. Just wait. Mm-hmm. It's not a race, right? Early drafts are fun, but at this point, like, that part's over. Now you should just be waiting. Wait for that draft. Early drafts are cool because we all had like the same, but now you'd hate to enter a slow draft now because you're going to have, like, the information's going to be changing all the time.
Yeah.
Right. It's really hard. So I would recommend folks push it as far as they can. I know that a lot of us have to slow draft now, and that makes it difficult to push it much further. But if you can, try, because you really want to give yourself all the information you can.
Early drafts are fun unless you did one and picked Fernando Tatis as your number one overall. But anyway, so, all right. Good stuff, Scott. Always a lot of fun, and especially a lot of fun, like I said, right now with all the activity, lots of activity, and that slams the lid on things for today. Next time we're going to get together is Wednesday, March 23rd. Enjoy the ride, and we'll finish off our outfield preview, and follow me at Joe Galina. Follow Scott at If The Chew Fits. Follow our podcast at Hacks and Jacks PL. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a nice review, and as always, we hope that all of your fantasies become realities, and we'll see you next time.